بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
On today's episode, we have a very special guest. I don't know if you guys remember him, but we had a guest in a previous episode. His name was Saleh. Today we're joined by his brother, pro trainer, aka the bone snatcher. He's a pro NBA trainer. We're going to get some of his insights today on fitness and what. Who knows? This podcast is going to be, if you're an athlete or if you're a person who enjoys fitness, you got to listen to this. Assalamu alaikum, Maher. You want to introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Absolutely. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let me just get positioned a little bit. Okay. So the thing that I do is biomechanical hacking. Mm-hmm. And so I focus on developing players, optimizing their movements, and work with ton of NBA players, ton of overseas players, mm-hmm. all ages. Mm-hmm. And my goal is to be one of the best trainers in the world, inshallah.
So you're inshallah. In the professional scene. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one thing I want to get into when we talk about this is I want to know, with these professional athletes, what is their work ethic like?
It varies, but mm-hmm. the obsession, it's intense. Like, you got to match that obsession. You got to be a degree higher than these guys. And you got to really stay focused, because when they feel that you're not really giving them what they need, you're just to the side.
So you as a trainer, you feel you have to compete with other trainers because it's like a fighting starting spot.
Initially, it was that case. Like, mm-hmm. I would look to compete against other trainers. But then when you kind of focus on trying to be the best, you're just competing with yourself, because you understand that your own obsession is hard for other people to match. Mm-hmm. And you're always leading the trail.
Okay, and now let me ask you, what has, you know, you're Muslim, what has your faith played a role into your work, your obsession, things like that?
You got to balance it. It's tough, because you get so caught up and Salah's coming, you're like, five more minutes, and you got to just dead it and just go to Salah. And they respect it. A lot of people will respect it when you kind of stay disciplined. Sometimes they'll catch him off guard. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you know, what is he doing? But then when they see you do it over and over again, they start to say, like, hey, can you tell me more? Like, you know, I just want to understand it. And then, you know, there's a lot of whispering that happens in your mind, and we know what causes that. Mm-hmm. And you got to just dead it as much as possible. Like, no, I got to stick to my game plan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's an interesting, you know, in Islam, you have that, the concept of jihad, the nafs, the fight, the battle within, you know, a war within yourself. And it's like that, those whispers, those thoughts, they come to you. You know, sometimes that your thoughts aren't always on your side. Sometimes you could be your biggest enemy and your biggest liar, and you wouldn't even know it. You get that. And I feel like that's something, especially with regards to training. Because me and Hussein, we're both athletes. But somehow he's the most athletic out of both of us.
No way.
we were both athletes. And it was something, we had passion for sports, passion for fitness. And, you know, it was just one of those things where we had, like, when Ramadan came around and things like that, we had to prioritize our faith and prioritize what we believe in over, you know, doing something that we love and things like that.
I actually had a spring session 2 years ago where I was playing football, and it was just like, you know, a short little training camp where we had 5 exhibition games versus other teams. And during this time, it was Ramadan. So I'd be fasting, and I'd have to break my fast in the middle of practice. So I'd have to tell them, like, yo, I have to leave real quick. I have to go pray. Sometimes we'd be having meetings and stuff like that. So I'd just, like, step out the meeting, go pray, and then come back. And, like, I always felt weird, but nobody ever said anything to me. It was always that thought in my mind that, oh, man, what are they saying about me? Like, what do they think about what I have to do, you know, my religious obligations? Because none of these guys, you know, they're what's it called? yeah, this guy's but yeah, the religious obligations that I have, they didn't have. So I was always just like, man, what are they thinking? And I remember seeing teammates, they'd be walking by me and they'd say, like, respect, respect. And they, like you said, they start asking questions. They'd be asking about, like, why I have to pray, why I have to go at a certain time, how many times I have to do it. And then I remember, because one of my coaches was very religious in Christianity, he started, like, debating with me. Not debating, like, oh, who's right and who's wrong. He used to just say, like, oh, this is some things that we have similar. This is some things that we don't have similar. And I'd be like, yeah.
You know, it's so crazy that you say about this. Look, me and my friend, our revert friend, we were praying outside the gym. We literally just left the gym. We're praying like normal. We're actually praying at Isha. And One of the dudes that he knows, he's always trying to preach Christianity to him, especially him being a revert. He thinks that him being a revert is like a weak spot for him. He was trying to preach to him. And he's just walking by us. He's just saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And then he gets into the car and then he leaves. Then the next day we catch him. We catch him in the bathroom and he starts, you know, trying to tell us like, oh, your guys' religion is wrong and this and that. And like, we're sitting here, we're like, I'm sitting inside the sauna, like having a conversation. I'm starting to get a headache. I'm like, bro, look, if you want to have this conversation, let's go outside. And like, well, like it just turned into like a 2-hour like conversation. He gets, you know, I'm not sure if it was a pastor or a preacher or some guy. He gets him on the phone and he's like trying to sit here and explain to me Christianity on the phone. And it just turned into this, you know, crazy 2-hour, 3-hour long debate, you know, just from him seeing us praying outside.
I want to ask. Especially you just said something that like it brought up this idea in my head. You prayed outside the gym for Isha. A lot of Muslims today, especially from the youth, they lack a certain confidence about their faith. I want to know what's a cure for confidence?
That's a tough one.
What have you seen? Like, what's a trend you've seen among players that you train or people that you saw as like, okay, he's got it.
Self-talk is the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've heard like self-hypnosis, some things like that.
It's more like, you know, when you're about to face something, you know, those thoughts that intrude, you kind of combat them. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, like when you're like, damn, I can't believe I'm about to do this. You flip it. You're like, oh, I'm excited about to do this. I'm excited mm-hmm. to do this. And then you kind of just like change the physiology of your body by just saying words. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I do it every time. Every time, like when you go on stage, for example, and you're like, damn, I'm about to talk in front of 200, 300, 400,000 people. It's like, I haven't done that before or whatever, you know? And then you just say, like, oh, this is exciting because now mm-hmm. I get to level up. Mm-hmm. And so you start to, like, think of things in those terms. And then also you can take it a step further and just be like, you know, this allows me to get closer to God.
100%. It's...
You know, you have this this concept in Islam. In Islam, we have words, affirmations.
Right.
You have these affirmations followed by action, presupposed by intention. It's these things where in Islam, you say things, but then you follow it with your action. And it's like, if you find yourself to be an honest person, you say you can do this, you know you can do this, then you're going to end up doing it. You have to believe, you have to be the person to believe in yourself the most is what I truly feel like. And especially in the train, in a, like, in a professional athlete scene, it's something that I wanted to, you know, like ask you about, like, how do these players, how do they do it? Because it's something you probably have experience with. And, you know, it's not necessarily, because obviously you're an expert, you know, bio and, you know, how to get people to maneuver the body. But it's also like a mental and a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. I wanted to go back to them. And now can I go back? So like you guys talking about Ramadan and fasting, man, like I made my first team in eighth grade and I had to fast during Ramadan, during like season, my first season. And I went through it, but I was always dehydrated. I was alone. And I was just through this journey every time feeling by myself, you know, like, you know, why are these obstacles in front of me? And then over time, I saw that after Ramadan, I would level up like Dragon Ball Z, you know, Goku, Kaioken times 10, you know, like it was one of those things where I looked forward to it. And then I started getting that challenge. I started challenging myself, like, how obsessed could I get in terms of practicing Islam and showing others that it doesn't faze me. It actually makes me stronger. Mm-hmm. And one of my teammates started doing it with me. So he would do it every year. And that was pretty cool. And then I had my college teammates do it one year. Mm-hmm. One guy couldn't last 10 minutes. He's like, bro, I was like, bro, you could last more than 10 minutes. But afterwards, you're like, oh, like, I really respect, you know, like, can we at least drink? Can we just drink some water? I'm like, listen, I'm not trying to kill you guys. If you want to experience with me, that's great. If you guys need that, that's great. So afterwards, they had so much more respect for it. But it just showed to me that, like, you know, when you push past your limits that you perceive, like, that's what you need to do. And a lot of times our limits are at, like, the 40% mark of what we can actually do. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I always say when I hit that point, I'm like, all right, I'm at 40% effort. And now I got to go another 40%, you know?
I just want to bring something up. You're talking about like limiting beliefs. And we recently did a parkour video where we were just at the park. We were doing some stunts. And if you can't do the stunt that the guy in front of you did, you get an X, you get a check. Or so I think it was like 4 strikes and you were out. So our brother here why this is why we say he's more athletic than us, like naturally gifted. We kept saying to him, "You're not going to do that," and all he says is, "Oh, I'm not." And then he goes ahead and does it.
Do it.
And then he recently showed us a video when he was playing like hide and seek or manhunt at a park, and he went on to you know those pillars at the park that shade the park. Yeah, he went on top of it. I think it was like maybe 30, 40 feet off the ground. And the same people were saying to him, "You're not going to do it." He's like, "Oh, I'm not." And then he goes ahead and does it. I'm like, "Yo, how do you just like do that?" You know, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking like, "Oh my God, bro, what if I fall? What if I slip? What if I do this? What if this happens?"
You know what's interesting? Correct me if I'm wrong. It's that initial thought that how does someone do that, or oh, I can't do this, that it limits you entirely. That small sliver, it's like you're an enemy to your own self. That belief limits you entirely. It's the same thing, you know, when people in Islam, they'll ask us in our comments, on our DMs, oh, how can I go back to Allah? How can I turn back to Allah? Or how can I repent? And things like this. And it's like, you already limited, like, there's nothing. Allah is Akbar. Like, Allah is the greatest. You're limiting, like, everything, like, your reality around you just from your thoughts. Like, from the get-go, you're losing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, to add on that, when you start to have negative thoughts, your body tightens. And when you have positive thoughts, your body loosens, and you're more likely to be successful when your body's loose. Mm-hmm. So that's why you see, like, in car accidents, the ones that are not expecting the car accidents and they kind of go with the movement are less likely to get injured. Whereas mm-hmm. the person that braces for it is going to get injured. So that's mm-hmm. where most injuries happen, in that sense of mm-hmm. just talking and going to those states.
Just look at anything that a person is successful at, whether it be in finances, whether it be in their religion or sports or whatever it may be. And there's a, you know, it's a, I guess a, people say it's a corny saying, but whatever. First they laugh at you, then they ask you how you did it. But it's 100% true. Like, they'll always laugh at you in the beginning. They'll always be like, oh, you can't do this and that. And then, you know, you have no other choice but to prove them wrong. If you sit there and you feed into those comments, you feed into those thoughts, and you're going to go ahead, you're going to be a loser just like them. But if you always, you know, trying to go ahead and you realize the ni'mah that Allah has given you, like, Allah has given me so much, I'm not going to let, you know, whatever these people have to say be my limit, because Allah is not limited. You know, Allah, with anything, with Allah's power, anything is possible. Mm-hmm. That's just the, you know, the way of looking at it. You know, you can always turn back to Allah, and just when you do things for the sake of Allah, it's like you'll never stop trying, because Allah, you know, Allah is the ever living. You know, you'll always try forever. But, you know, when you do things for the sake of people or for the sake of yourself, like, what happens on those days when you really don't want to? You know what I mean?
That validation that other people give you it's not going to last. One day, 2 days. One day they're talking good about you. The next day they're talking bad about you. Just like that. So
that's it's actually crazy. You guys bring up, like, more limiting beliefs. And, like, let's say imposter syndrome too. Because imposter syndrome, you just feel like, oh, I can't do what they're doing. And for me, that one thing is that people thought I couldn't do, but I knew I could do, was content creation. When I said, oh, I want to just, you know, put my religion online, I want to put my love for the deen on the internet, or even before I even got into posting religious content, I just experimented with content. I was just posting, you know, random stuff, and it'd go viral. But then I remember people telling me, like, what is this guy doing? Who do you think you are? And I'm just like, bro, like, I'm just having fun. You know what I mean? I'm not worried about what anybody else is saying. And then when I went and did it, people always ask me, dang, bro, I seen, like, you're blowing up on Instagram. You're doing this on TikTok. You're doing your thing. And I'm talking about, these are people from my high school who were, you know, coming at me in this way. And then they see me in public randomly at a grocery store, and they'll be saying these things. And in my head, you know, I try to take, you know, the appreciation that they're giving me. But then at the same time, I'm just like, weren't you the same person who was saying, like, I couldn't do it?
Crazy, right?
Like, I'm just like, you were the one saying I couldn't do it. It was the same thing when I played football too. Like, I was so passionate about it. And then up until the point where people saw, oh, you could actually do something with this, they were like, man, they tried to support my journey. They tried to fund my journey. Like, people were trying to pay for my trainings and whatnot. And I was just like, nah, man, I'm good. I don't need it. Mm-hmm. Because, like, the people who were there from the beginning were the only ones that I needed, because that's who I was doing it for.
But you know what's so crazy? Like, I'm not trying to, like, sit here and assume the worst of people, but we can't deny the fact that this exists. Some of those same people that will congratulate you now, they still feel that envy towards you. Like, these people, they're not happy for you. You know, at the end of the day, like, they can sit here, they can show you that they're happy for you, this and that. But in reality, like, there's a hatred inside their heart. But, like, we as Muslims, like, we shouldn't have this problem, because you as a Muslim, you always want for your brother what you would want for yourself. You know, you want good for yourself, you're going to want the same thing for your brother. And, like, you know, I try to go ahead and, you know, afflict that upon, like, all the people I hang around, because, like, if they're my brothers, like, you know, I want the best for these people. You know what I mean? But when people don't, then you just got to be careful of things like that, because that could also be a big part of your downfall, you know, surrounding yourself with people like that.
It's also like, not everyone has your best interest at heart. There's only you can count the people on your hand who truly have your best interest at heart. And it's that's why like people they go and they post their wins and they post all these different things and like every single good aspect of their life. But it's like, and these people are congratulating, you're taking it, and you think everyone thinks good of you, but then you know you find out they're talking this, they're saying that, and then it seems to affect you. You think, and then you think bad about humanity. Like, but you should have known this from the jump. Like not a lot of people are. There's only a certain select few who are gonna want the absolute best for you. And I wanted to ask you this. Mm-hmm. With regards to, you know, training and, you know, do you do a lot of one-on-one training or a group or team? How is it?
Yeah, I switch up. It depends seasonally. Mm-hmm. Sometimes one-on-one, you know, mm-hmm. I'll travel.
I want to know, how does competition, like brotherly, like a brotherhood, you know, you've seen people bond. How does that affect, like, the way people work?
There is bonding. There is that need to bond with some. You're trusting somebody. Someone's trusting you to take them to the next level. So they want to figure you out to an extent. Like, hey, I got to make sure this guy is legit, mm-hmm. and not have ulterior motives. There's mm-hmm. a lot of that going on where, like, you'll see agents where they have two players and they'll give one player more opportunity than the other, where they could have figured out something, but there's more money in it for them. So they'll. Mm-hmm. They'll find a way to manipulate the situation.
What would you say character plays a role in, you know, to people you train? Like, this character, I know it's a wild question to ask, but, like, have you seen someone's character affect the way they play or, like, their opportunities? You know, some people have bad mouths and things like that.
These coaches, they want guys that will listen to them. Some of these coaches have no idea what they're doing. So they'll have these players go through the system, and they just want to make sure that they do what they say. And so... sometimes you're training a player to go through a system to be successful for the next step, not for the current step. Mm-hmm. So like you'll just find a way to explain them, like, hey, I know this doesn't make any sense, but you just got to stick through it, do it this way, get some highlights, and then get out. You know, mm-hmm. like you're trying to make sure that they understand that. And they're like, nah, I gotta do it this way. If I don't do it this way, then I'm not doing my best. I'm like, you gotta understand, this is, you're a professional now. You got to act like a professional, not mm-hmm. like an amateur. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to find ways to explain to them these little things. And a lot of times it's hard to get to them. So you're just figuring out different ways.
I was actually going to ask you about that, like being hard to get to. How often do you deal with someone who's like a know-it-all? They're arrogant. You know, they don't want to be talked to. They don't want to be taught, you know, anything like that.
It happens a lot. It's hard to like, so, you know, I try to like learn body language on the court and understand them. And a lot of times they don't tell you what they really mean. Mm-hmm. So they'll say something like, oh, that was great. And you know, they're lying. So like, mm-hmm. nah, we're gonna step it up now. So you're trying to figure out how to get them to where they need to go. It's not really about you. It's about getting them to be successful. And sometimes you can't give them everything. Mm-hmm. You want to take them to that next level, but they're not ready for it. So you got to break it up off into like little pieces and hope that they get to that next step. And then once they do, then you push it because you're giving everything. And sometimes it's they just don't have it. So you're trying to figure out their motivation. You're trying to do all these things to just get them to understand like, hey, like this is what's in front of you. And once you see that they understand it, then you're making the next stages ready for them.
I bet it's like, especially as a trainer or a coach, it's it's a great feeling to see that growth. You know, that's something, you know, especially in Islam, growth, change, it's a reoccurring theme. Repentance, all this is a reoccurring theme. Like if we take it back, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessed be upon him, you know, and his companions, they were changed into like the best of people over time. And it took time as well. So it's like, you know, it must be interesting to see that, like, especially throughout many different people. And, you know, like, it's interesting to see the humanity in that, you know?
Yeah. You're breaking them through their limitations a lot of times. Like, mm-hmm. you see that they can't get out this box, and you're trying to help them through it. Mm-hmm. And it's tough because they've never seen the world outside of that box. Mm-hmm. And it's just tough. And then you're trying to find different ways to show them that the hardship and all these things that are happening. And sometimes it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of figure out like, why didn't it work?
This is crazy because this kind of brings me back to when, you know, I was trying to become a professional athlete myself. Mm-hmm. And I thought I could teach myself every aspect of the game that I needed to know. I didn't think I needed to invest in anything besides like my gym membership, which was $10 a month. But, you know, I have a field next to my house, so I used to go train there by myself. But it wasn't until I was paying lots of money to top tier trainers, dudes who used to play pro and they trained professionals. Like, I trained with the Buccaneers when they won the Super Bowl. Amazing. Not all the players, but some of them. And I got to see their work ethic. I got to see how they trained. And I got to train the exact same way. And it wasn't until then that I felt like literally every part of my game was elevated. My body was elevated. I was the most healthy I've ever been. I was in the best shape I'd ever been. And then I was just like, wow, this money is nothing compared to the result I got. And it brings me to a point where something that's new to Muslims nowadays is investing in themselves. You as a trainer, you obviously take the investment people take and say, I'm going to invest my time into you and you're going to invest that money into me, hoping that I bring you the result that you're looking for. So I'm looking for advice for people who are out there who are afraid to invest in themselves.
Yeah. Once you start to put that money into yourself, you'll see a huge difference. Even me as a trainer, I had to invest in myself and get certifications and all that stuff. Right. And a lot of times I knew things and I'm like, oh, I'm close. But when I was able to invest in myself, it made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And so just doing the research and understanding, like, what is it that you really need? What is your weakness? Mm-hmm. Like, really ask yourself objectively, like, what is my weakness and what do I need to develop? Mm-hmm. And then just focus on that one thing and then just knock out each one at a time. Absolutely. And then just the degree of success, like if you were to compare some of your coaches, right, you would say like, dang, between two coaches, the detail is by sometimes a degree. Like, oh, I was taught this way when really it was more like a little more of an angle. That degree makes a huge difference in success just by a degree. You know, like I tell people the difference between 101 and 99% seems like two percentiles, whatever. But it's more than that, because 99, you're going backwards, and 101, you're going forwards, and 100, you're maintaining. And that's a huge difference day by day, you know, 1%. That's why people say 1% better every day. Mm-hmm. But you count that up, that's not 365, whatever percentage difference every day. You know, it's a huge difference every day, you know?
That's interesting.
I actually like that, because when you think of like maintaining, especially religiously, you don't ever want to just stay in the same place.
Stagnant.
Like, you can do what's sufficient for you, which is obligatory. But when you're a hungry person, and this goes for all aspects of life, whether you're hungry for your business or to provide for your family or whatever it may be in life, when you're hungry for your religion to do better every single day, then you will. That's just a promise from God, because He's with those who try to do good, who try to better themselves, who try to purify their hearts. And purifying the heart means doing better, means getting away from the things that are like making your heart impure, right? So getting away from the sins, repenting. And the obligatory will help that. But what's not obligatory, the voluntary stuff, those are the things you choose, like, okay, this is making me better. These are those things, like, you know, when people say, oh, they're working when you're not, like, you're sleeping. Yeah, that's what those acts of worship are doing for you.
You know, it's interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the actions which are small, but they're consistent. And it's, you know, it's the same, you know, like with training or with especially within our religion. Muslims are the most consistent people I know. We 5 times a day, every single day. We don't miss a day. Literally, doesn't matter if you're sick, doesn't matter if you're tired. You don't miss. And it's the same thing in training. If you want to get better, you got to do it. You got to be doing it more than the next person. And it's that obsession that you talked about. I feel this whenever I come on a podcast or whenever we make videos. You have a passion for religion, because it's not separate from my life. This is my life. You get that?
Mm-hmm. I got to say, I'm a fan of you guys. Like, I've been watching some of your podcasts. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys just like break out some stuff. I'm like, yeah, these guys are going somewhere. So inshallah, like, I hope for your success. Inshallah. And there's a lot I want to talk about. Like, the other day I was watching, yesterday I was watching one of your videos, and you were talking about like getting swept under the current and how and that, to me, going back to what you were saying, you know, I was like, I just want to be a good trainer. And then when I turned that degree, like just 5 years went by getting swept under the current of just like being a good trainer. And then when I said, I want to be the best trainer. No, I want to be one of the best. No, I want to be the best trainer. All of a sudden something just like changed. But within that transition, I would tell people like, oh yeah, I want to be one of the best trainers in the world. They would laugh at me. there were times where I laugh at myself. Like, I couldn't say it. I'm like, yeah, I want to be one of the best trainers in the world. And I couldn't take myself serious. I was like, why couldn't I do that? And then I started, like, really, like, getting obsessed with the details and stuff like that. And then, boom, getting swept under the current again. But this time when I rose in a better spot. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm ready for that next step, you know?
You know what's so funny about, you know, being swept under the current? We were actually just talking about this before this podcast episode. So last year we were in Chicago. We were trying to play this basketball game. And I said, look, next year we're coming out. I'm going to be one of the best basketball players. You guys are going to train me. A whole year has gone by and like we haven't done anything. And I'm just like, bro, no way a whole year just went by that fast. But like, we really haven't done anything.
We haven't done no training, but it's okay.
Yeah, like alhamdulillah, like it's something to reflect upon, because, you know, with being swept under the current, you can reflect upon it, whether you're doing good or bad in life. Because sometimes, you know, you might work really hard. You might get ahead of yourself. You might be like, bro, like I'm not getting anywhere. But then you take a step back, you reflect, you look back at Allah's blessings. You're like, wow, alhamdulillah, I came back so far. I haven't felt like I've been going anywhere. I've been doing small things every day, but these small things every day have been helping me achieve these big goals. One of the things my mentor always taught me was like, you got to set big goals for yourself. But the thing is, you got to set down five small goals every single day to go ahead and achieve that big goal. Because sometimes like we look at these big goals, we see it as overwhelming. Like, look, for example, we might look at reading the Quran, 600 pages. Wow, that's a big book. I'm not going to read it. But if I break it down, I'm like, man, after every salah, I'm going to read 5 pages. All of a sudden, you have it done by the end of the month. You're like, wow, subhanAllah, I've come so far. You know, it's just crazy. You know, take that step back.
And you know, something that's emphasized in Islam is gratefulness. Gratefulness to Allah. To not waste a single second and to take every single chance that you get to be better and to perfect, improve yourself and to look at your goals and really say that you want to achieve this. It's something that a lot of people, like some people just don't have it. You have to have that will in your heart. You have to have that type of heart to every single chance that you get. This is all you think about. And when you said that obsession, it really moved my mind. Like that's the word obsession. You really got to be obsessed about what you want. And it's not about what anybody else wants. It's about what you desire every single moment, every single day. In the morning, you're not concerned what's happening at night. You're concerned with what's happening right now.
And that's also very true. Like, that's something I was also taught as well. It's not about, you know, just wanting to win. It's about being obsessed. Because once you're obsessed, you're going to want to, like, you don't want to leave no stone unturned. You don't want to leave no crumbs on the floor, no crumbs on the plate, whatever it may be. Like, you want everything. Like, all those small details that you can work on yourself to do better, like, you're going to want to do it because you're obsessed. You want to be the best version of yourself. You're better than you were yesterday. Like, there's no better feeling than that. You know what I mean?
And this is a thing that I realized possibly maybe a year ago, where I was just like, being obsessed was one thing, being obsessed with, like, you know, being the best at your craft or whatever you were trying to be like good at, and then being the best at that thing while it bringing you closer to God. Absolutely. That's where like everything started propelling forward for me, because before, you know, I thought I was going to be the best, you know, I was trying to be the best, I was training like I was going to be the best, and you know, for a time it was working. But then when I felt like, you know, that nearness to God was like starting to fade away from me, I was just like, okay, no, something's going like wrong right now. You know, I'm getting the worldly stuff that I want, but I'm losing, you know, my spirituality. Mm-hmm. So then when I started prioritizing my spirituality and then saying like, okay, now I'm going to go out and I'm going to try to be the best and I have to be obsessed with this. Then everything was like, okay, look, you know, I'm doing good here. If I fall back, you know, I'm going to reflect on what happened, and that's going to bring me closer to God. And then when I'm winning, it's still going to bring me closer to God. Mm-hmm. So either way, I'm winning at whatever it is I'm trying to do.
100%. I mean, I just look at anything I do in my life that I think that I'm good at, is like, whether it be a video game, whether it has to do anything with cars, whether it has to do anything with my religion. Like, not only when I really became obsessed with it is really when I started to progress in it. I'm sitting here, I'm watching videos. I'm trying to enact things in my daily life. I'm sitting here learning from people that are doing way better than me. They were in a place where I was at. You know, it's just that process. But like when we look at other things that we do, we might just do them on a day-to-day basis, but you'll never be the best at it because you're not obsessed with it. You're not doing the most that you can do. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just neglecting the opportunities that you have in front of you.
Yeah, and it's crazy because it was understanding how I can out maneuver or add more effort without let me rephrase. So it's being able to do more work with less effort. Mm-hmm. While everybody's kind of training extremely hard, I was saying to myself, how can I make myself faster? How can I jump higher without putting as much effort. And then that's where I got obsessed with the biomechanics and understanding, okay, nobody's talked about this. And it got to the point where I was explaining to players and I would see them do the stuff, see them successful, but ask like, you know, how come nobody else is doing this? How come the top trainers aren't doing this? And because I realized my obsession was so far ahead of everybody else that when my material came out there, they all started doing it. Like the dribble extension, you know, you kind of see people like dribbling to the side and stuff mm-hmm. like that. That was one of my inventions in terms of biomechanics. And so seeing this at the NBA level, seeing Kawhi Leonard do my move to perfection, knowing that it was developed in a certain way that only I would know if he did it right. And seeing that and saying, oh, it's reached the highest level before I was able to get there. You know, so I'm like, okay, my material, I'm not crazy. You know, I'm there. And then to your point, like the reason why I do this is because I want to get closer to Allah. Like mm-hmm. when we win as Muslims, we set the mentorship. We set kind of what people will follow because like, oh, he's Muslim. That's probably why he's mm-hmm. he was able to get to his point, why he was able to be successful. And we're starting to see that more. There's way more distractions now. And it's allowing us to win more as Muslims, you know? Mm-hmm.
100%. I mean, whenever people ask me, I say first and foremost, like it's to Allah, because the results that we've had, you know, just doing this podcast and doing social media, it blew up faster than we thought it would. So then I was just like, okay, it's definitely not us. But the fact that like when I looked at, okay, what are we even doing? We're doing material. We're putting our religion out there for people to see, for Muslims like us to find love for the religion. So then I was just like, okay, when you're trying to do something for the sake of God and you think that it's bringing you closer to Allah and it actually is, then success will follow you wherever you go. There's no way that success won't find you.
You know, the way I think about it is I put in as much work as I possibly can. I work as hard as I possibly can. And the result that Allah will give me is way better than any result that I could put forth myself. And you have to believe that with your heart. And that hard work will really sustain, it will keep you from worrying. Because when you know, and only you know how, like, that you're doing your best. That's something that's interesting.
Allah's not going to neglect you. Allah's going to be the most just. So whatever it is that he gives you, best believe you're most deserving of it. Or Allah, you know, he has given you more than what you deserve. Mm-hmm. And it's that gratefulness that ties back into it. Like if you're grateful for that fact, Allah will just increase you. Mm-hmm. And like, why wouldn't we want that?
I mean, if you look at it in a fitness aspect, right? And if you're like not in the best shape that you could be, and you're just like, well, why am I not in the best shape? But you're not looking at, what are you eating? How often are you going to the gym? What are your workouts at the gym like? Like, how intense mm-hmm. are you going? Because like we said, pushing yourself beyond your limit, not just maintaining. Sometimes you have to push further than that. Like, I know your goals may be different in certain aspects of life, but at times you do have to push yourself past that limit so that you know how far you can go only until you reach that point. You're never going to know. If you don't try, you're never going
to
know.
And it's interesting. A lot of people, and it's really sad to say this, but even us included, we don't know what we're capable of. We could probably be far capable than anything our thoughts could ever imagine. And Allah would give us far more than anything we've imagined, but we don't wake up in the morning. We sleep in, we scroll on our phone, we do all this. We don't pay attention to every single detail. We don't try. Like, it's really day to day. Like, some people, they go by a day and the little be wasted, but they don't realize every single day counts. Like, on the day of judgment, Allah's not going to say, like, oh, I think, like, he's going to ask about everything. It's not about like, oh, that one didn't count. Filler. Like, no, that's not how it works.
Even if you like tried to pursue something and he gave you the opportunity to do it and you're just like, there's no excuse that says, oh, I was scared to do it. Oh, I was afraid of what these people were going to say. That's not just for you. Like, that's not going to work for you on the day of judgment. Everything that you do, you should do with asking yourself how you will answer for this action. Mm-hmm. How will I answer for how I did this in my life? Like, the career I pursued, or the videos I posted on the internet, or the way I treated my family, I treated my neighbors, I was active in my community. All these things, how will I be asked about them and how will I answer for them? Because I know I can't answer for myself. I can't make an excuse. Any excuse you have, you have to throw it out the window.
Yeah, and it's like, or even the way you treat your profession. Like, you're giving, these people are giving you money and you train them. You have to give them your absolute best. You get that. And that's what I love about, like, when you said obsession, every single little detail, they're getting every single dime worth of you. Just from that.
Like, you'll see people who are obsessed with the game, but they came to you for a reason. they know that your obsession may well rub off on them, because they're going to connect with you in a way that, you know, they're going to learn the game. But then at the same time, they're going to have to learn you as well. They're going to have to learn about who you are, the way that you approach the game, the way that your mindset works. And that was one thing I went to in when I was training. Like, I liked my coaches, but the pro players I was with, these guys were currently in the NFL. I was like, oh my God, bro. Like, just seeing them, you know, their work ethic was just so strong that I tried to soak up all the knowledge I could. I used to just try to ask them to go to lunch every single day so that I could just sit down with them and understand, you know, the way that they operate. Because like Osman says, he tries to learn from people because they're in a position that you want to be in, and they were once in a position that you are in right now. So then I wanted to learn exactly what took them from my position to the position they're in now. And I carry those types of lessons with me all the time, because seeing people who are in a better position than you is just going to help you to be a better version of yourself, because you're limiting yourself if you don't go out there and explore, if you don't go read books, if you don't go watch certain videos that help you learn more about the things that you want to do, then you're never going to elevate. You're never going to get better.
100%.
Yeah. So
yeah, I think we can end the podcast with that one. This was wonderful. This is an amazing talk.
Yeah.
I
mean,
got anything else? To add on, you know, any advices for people out there?
Yeah, where's those cards real quick?
Oh, the trivia cards?
Go grab them.
Oh.
It's beautiful. So, Islamic Trivia, part two. You got to go buy one right now.
Yeah, you heard it.
This go cover yourself in Islamic Trivia, man. Test your knowledge with your friends and your family. It's a game we developed because, you know, people love our Islamic Trivias a lot, so we thought we'd bring the fun to you guys in a card form so you guys can play. Even use the pillow like us, by the way.
This would lie. Likewise, if you're trying to be an athlete, you're trying to move better, mobility, anything basketball.
Make sure you guys.
Y'all got a guy. Dean Tor approved. He's going to train us next.
100%.
Look,
me first, especially. Look, I need it the most.
No, we actually want to do that. It would be so cool.
It would be a cool video.
And then, if you guys enjoy this podcast, please let us know. Let us know, like, you know, any lessons, feedback you guys have for us for this, inshallah. I think this is a very good message for the youth, and even for all of our adult viewers out there who are maybe struggling in parts of their life, not knowing what direction that they want to go in, or how, you know, their career or they're balancing their faith and their responsibilities can help propel them, you know, for the future to get closer to Allah. But with that being said, you know, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, guys. Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know whose life you can change by sharing this podcast episode. We're not scholars. We're still students of knowledge. We're open to any correction, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.